Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about our links and news, go to our website at geekson.com.
Hello, my geeklings. Welcome back. Been missed. How are you?
Betrayer.
I had to. Somebody requested
blatant
it.
Blatant self-promotion.
Yeah, it was. That's the end of it.
Jean Acuz. Hi, everybody.
You?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Aaron, I'm going to ask you first this time. How was your Geek Week?
My Geek Week was okay. We've been playing World of Warcraft. That was the that's the video game that I've been playing. I haven't had a lot of time to play video games, so the one video game I have... that and Homeworld, too.
How is Homeworld?
It's hard. It's an older game, right. But installed on my new Mac, and looks beautiful. I mean, the original Homeworld was great, but this is hard as hell. I mean, really freaking hard. So
I bought 3 video games, but I'm keeping 2 in the bag, so I'll release them later. But
I bought 3 video games as well.
Right now I'm playing Rise of the Kasai.
Oh, how is that?
Oh, it's cool. Although you...
All Polynesian-themed video games should
be. Yeah, but in the first one, you're kind of going with another guy, so you don't get to sneak around as much. Mm-hmm. And he keeps on killing people, and you're like, hey, I wanted to kill those people.
Am I thinking of the wrong game?
No, this is Mark of Cree.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
It's kind of
Mark of Cree sequel, right?
Sequel, yeah. I'm waiting for it to get cooler than it is.
I bought it?
I bought it.
I went on a video game, a vintage video game spree.
Ooh.
I bought Kung Fu Chaos, which Aaron bought forever ago, and we got addicted, but I'm the one that still has the IV in his arm. I love this game.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's just so adorable.
Are you playing the ninja still?
It's too bad you can't play it on Xbox Live, though.
Yeah, that would make that game.
That would be hilarious.
It totally would.
Yeah.
I got that. I got Dynasty Warriors 4. Oof. Because it was $12, and I love that game, and you must come over and we will play this game.
I should come over and we should play.
I love this game. So
okay.
I haven't played it yet, but you know I love the older ones.
No, when we played it, Aaron, it sucked. Yeah, absolutely. Granted, Matt and Aaron playing Dynasty Warriors sucked. Don and I playing Dynasty Warriors, it was
suddenly it's 4 a.m., we smell bad, and the Cheetos are missing.
What are you saying about Aaron? You're saying Aaron can't play Dynasty Warriors?
No.
He sucks at Dynasty Warriors?
I think I have a different Matrix relationship with different video games and different people.
Yeah.
Don and I cannot play Halo worth a damn.
No.
We hate each other.
It was like watching the Keystone Cops play Halo. It was just not right.
How do you duck?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we were actually beaten by a fallen beam. We just couldn't get around it, gave up, and quit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
We were drunk on eggnog at the time.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to skip the game I'm saying. Yeah.
The new Rainbow Six is coming out, I think, in like 10 days.
Cool. Sick Dog can shoot us.
Rainbow Six is a great... I mean, we played the hell out of that game.
Oh, yeah.
The original one. This is the one that has the online character that you can keep increasing the skills. Medic, engineer.
Wait. You can make him better than the other people?
Yeah. Only in your skills, though, not your shoot it. It's still a twitch-based game, so your accuracy, like a first-person shooter, is based off of your personal skills. But the secondary skills, medic, engineering, hacking, all that stuff gets increased. And you get more money to buy cooler weapons and cooler armor as you increase.
So you can actually buy your way into cool shit.
Yeah,
but maybe get better than other people.
But true, but you get ranked, I think.
Well, it's kind of like... you know, paintball in real life. I used to play paintball, which those of you who know me is pretty much of an absurd idea.
You're playing in the Great Sequoia Forest.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, to top it all off, I couldn't afford camos at the time, so I wore this kind of powder blue sweatsuit out into the woods.
Kill the giant smurf! Yeah. Kill the giant
smurf! My nickname became Blueberry. It was like, your job is to run back somewhere over there, let them see you, they'll come after you, we'll kill them.
Alright, Tim, John, you go over flank left. Alright, Augustus Gloop, I want you to go over.
Now, to top it all off, what was I about to say? Oh yeah, with the paintball, like I went in with a handgun. Most people had the handgun, right? But there was always somebody who brought the machine gun,
right,
or the assault rifle, or the mortar, God help us. You know, so all of us peons are just kind of running through the woods, and suddenly this paint can comes out of the sky and devastates us all.
Well, you know? I'm assuming that this is going to have ranked games like Halo in a way, cool. So they'll match you up with.
We should all go play paintball.
Hey, I have a gift certificate to go play paintball, and we should all use it when it cools off. It's too hot right now.
Okay.
I'm game.
I thought you meant the gift certificate was too hot. I didn't know what you meant.
No. The temperature is too hot because you got to wear full length clothes.
What we could do now is go play laser tag. I've been wanting to do that forever.
Where's a place to play that?
There's one in Ventura.
Is it?
It's always too small in there.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I want to go to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, and go to Skirmish because that is singly the best paintball place to play. I played the world's largest paintball game there. That's what I'm in Guinness for.
Paintball. Sorry.
It's the world's largest paintball game.
Well, but what I was going to say, if any of you are out in New York, Sky High XS is in Times Square. Mm-hmm. If they're still in business, God, it's been so long since I've been there.
Sky High XS?
XS. XS. S.
Sounds dirty.
It is dirty, but it's cool. It's it's this kind of video game lounge bar type thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've got kind of laser shows going all the time. It's very swanky, you know, pay $5 to play Pac-Man type of place.
Right.
But down in the basement, they have laser tag,
mm-hmm.
or at least they did in the past. And they have laser lights set up and smoke machines and all this great stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm game. I'm game.
Game.
He's in.
Game.
I thought he just outed himself.
I'm gay.
Nice, Aaron.
Maureen.
There's something you need to know.
Husband. Bad that vacation this weekend.
That explains the little dog.
Do you guys want to do some geek news?
No.
Geek news. All right,
first topic then. 15-minute show.
Great.
I'll start with some geek news.
Why don't you bring it out?
This isn't going to last long, but it's something on eBay. Right now you can bid for a Battlefield 2 mercenary/bodyguard.
What?
That's right. Battlefield 2 is out right now,
okay.
As most of you know. Well, this guy is auctioning off himself and his character for 10 hours. If you win the bid, he'll log on with you and do whatever you tell him. You're his commander, and he'll protect you. He'll be your bodyguard online for 10 hours.
Does he have to call you commander? Because that could totally be worth it.
I think he would. Maybe.
We should bid on this man.
I will follow your orders in Battlefield 2 PC game as a loyal mercenary and protect you with my life as a bodyguard.
Okay. So this is like paying people to stay in character.
Yes, but what we would do is we would hire him to run across every single arena he can log into screaming, "Geeks on rocks! Geeks on rocks!" and just keeps running through until he gets gunned down.
Geeks on.com. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that's a good idea. 10 hours of advertisement. Well, absolutely. Right now, the bidding is at $9.12.
Ah, $9.
I don't think we can afford that.
Done.
But it's interesting that you can buy buy a mercenary now for an online game.
He's not even up to $1 an hour.
Well, wasn't you that brought in the news article once upon a time about an artist in New York who will do whatever you tell him to?
Right. For free.
For free.
Yeah.
But that's just art.
Performance art.
Yeah, that's performance art. All right, Peter.
So weird.
Looks like Microsoft is getting in on the Skype game. They're going to be doing something like Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So people are wondering if this is going to be the Skype killer.
But they'll charge.
No, please. Google came out with their chat software that also does online chats. Like, God, you know, there's so many of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see.
And I'll do another one real quick, which is Apple. It looks like the Apple Motorola iPod might be on the way. The phone, iPod phone.
Right.
And they're expecting it to be announced September 7th in San Francisco. This is a rumor.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait and see if this is true or not.
Aaron, but you should have given this story to Aaron.
Very interesting.
Aaron does the rumors, Pete.
No, I'm stealing that. I'm going to be the new rumor guy.
Pete's the new rumor guy. Aaron?
I'm
hard. Rumor guys enter. One rumor guy leaves.
Aaron, you just got served.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens next
week. Dance off.
All right.
Dance off.
Wow.
Wow.
All of our listeners are so unlucky that this is not a live video broadcast. Wow.
Imagine the Star Wars kid.
but with less rhythm.
And more hair.
What's funny is that Don and I said that at the exact same time.
And I'm in the middle, so it was like, in stereo, we're available.
All right, Matt.
All right. Chinese cyber spies.
We need more of those, really.
Yes, not actually a game from Sony.
Cyber spies, they're watching you.
They're Chinese.
Okay. That was funny. All right. This guy named Sean Carpenter, it's routine night. He works for computer network security for Sandia National Laboratories, where much of the U.S. nuclear arsenal is designed. Eek. Carpenter's 36. He's sitting around. He's in his ranch house in the hills in Albuquerque. All of a sudden, he comes back to his computer, and he's a Spider-Man, which is the nickname for military intelligence who sort of sit inside the web and mm-hmm. find out what's going on. So
he scopes the net and look out for clues, and then will submit what he feels is...
Exactly.
Is strange or right. news or whatever.
Right. So suddenly he comes across a bunch of hackers trying to hit the system that he works for.
Mm-hmm.
And they're amazing. They're absolutely incredible. You know, he says, most hackers, if they actually get into a government network, get excited and make mistakes. Not these guys. They never hit a wrong key. They come in, they zip up files, they're ridiculously quick. They send it off 8 ways from zero. They pack it out to different locations. And they're gone. They're like ghosts. They wipe every single fingerprint that they have.
Hmm.
So he finds out, he catches this right at the very end, and he puts a little carrier signal in with them and starts tracking them back.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up sort of watching them hit, you know, because he eventually gives this information to the FBI, and he finds out the FBI have been tracking similar hit cases just like this all over the United States.
He doesn't work for a government agency?
He does not work for a government agency. He just starts freelancing, just doing, because he's interested in what's going on. So what he starts finding out is that this is a cyber espionage ring called Titan Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And he had caught wind of them earlier. Through, you know, sort of within his circle. And suddenly he realizes that he's on their case, and he tracks almost all of their information. He finds the servers that they're working off of back in China just because he's got this, you know, carrier signal on them. He starts finding all of the information from Los Alamos Labs, from NASA, from the Federal Depository, all of which they've hacked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane amounts of information. And so he ends up getting tracked back to, you know, and he ends up, you know, shoveling the information off to the FBI, and they start doing stuff with it. And then, ironic as it is, his company starts prosecuting him for breaking international trade laws by hacking into foreign computers.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a huge article about him in Time, though, but you should check it out.
Interesting.
It's really interesting.
Wow. It's
too complex.
Well, I've got some politics stuff this week. Let's see. The U.S. attorney has unveiled what his big crusade will be in the near future.
Oh, I heard about
death to geeks.
Yeah, well,
not
sort
that
of.
Far.
When FBI supervisors in Miami met with the new interim U.S. attorney, Alex Acosta, last month, they wondered what would be the top enforcement priority for Acosta and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez would be. Would it be terrorism?
No.
Organized crime?
No.
Narcotics trafficking?
No.
Immigration or maybe public corruption?
Nah. Uh-uh.
The agents were stunned to learn that a top prosecutorial priority of Acosta and the Department of Justice was none of the above. Instead, Acosta told them, it's obscenity. Not pornography involving children, but pornographic material featuring consulting adults.
That's so, what we're going after.
Yeah. I mean, terrorism isn't that a big deal, right?
No.
I mean,
we don't need
you know,
US
drug
attorneys.
War. No,
yeah.
It's important that we get breasts off the television screens of consulting geeks. Across.
Kill the breasts. That was good, Peter. The geeks are really, really sad that they missed that too. Destroy breasts.
And what I find really funny is that this is the attorney general who said it was okay to take the curtain off the statue of the Statue of Justice in the Justice Department that was concealing her breast.
Okay.
Well, that's because what's his face? Ashcroft.
Ashcroft put it on there.
Put it on there.
Right. But I mean, it's okay.
Ashcroft can go and fuck off. And so can these guys. That's an obscenity they can shove up their ass.
I was kind of hoping that this one would be a little bit more level-headed.
Hey,
maybe.
You watch out. We're on the internet. This guy could shut us down because
please. Because
we're number one.
Because this is the most offensive thing you can find on the internet right now.
Because all four of us are doing this podcast topless.
Tom, stop tickling.
I thought we were supposed to do it bottomless.
Wow. I was wondering why you were doing that.
I feel a little awkward.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Peter, you're bottomless too, but with all the hair, we couldn't tell.
No. He's like Cousin Ant's like, I don't know. No, Cousin
Peter, Ant. Why are you wearing that sweater?
What sweater?
I just got out of the shower.
So, how do they plan? They just made this announcement that they're cleaning up television? Are they focusing on television?
No, they're focusing on the
porn.
Net. They're focusing on internet porn.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Not
please.
Child porn.
So this is internet going to porn. Be... This is the biggest waste of money that we plan on spending. There's
yeah, especially
no,
because... Listen. You know what? If this industry makes the billions of dollars than it does, we are participating. The American public wants it if it's making that much money.
It doesn't matter. Yep. There's no way of stopping it. These guys don't even know what the internet is, barely. I mean, they're at the age where they're like, well, we need to shut down the internet.
Well, they're the political enemies of Al Gore, so how could they know what the internet out? Is?
Aaron, you know don't why. Seem to understand what they're dealing with, okay? No, listen, there's a lot of dangers for internet porn, okay? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There are people who've gotten some really bad chafing. They've had to go to the
viruses.
Hospital, you know. I mean, yeah, on their computer, virus.
If you
viruses.
Need a mistress, you go and I mean, get a mistress. You don't
you
need
know.
None of that crap.
Yeah, that's on her. Your computer.
Wait, yeah. How come they're Southern all of a sudden?
I don't know. I was just copying you.
Yeah, actually,
Matt and I are from
Florida
New York and
have...
Connecticut. If we're talking about Republican oppression, it's we call them
impressionists.
Maps to that Southern accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
And they call you Yankees.
Yeah, we're
just like Maureen resents us a little bit.
Maureen's like, damn Yankees.
Damn Yankees.
I have some news about the new Star Wars TV series.
Oh,
live action.
Fill us in.
It's probably not going to happen.
Really? Yeah. Oh, no
well,
wonder the
okay.
guy didn't answer me.
What the rumor and or hubbub on the street is that it's being postponed or not even really thought about until maybe... late 2007, maybe 2008.
Okay.
Because George Lucas has decided that he wants to be heavily involved in the writing and directing.
Oh, God.
And he's too busy right now with the planned 3D versions of the original Star Wars trilogy.
Oh, God.
And stuff.
Stop! George, stop.
I'm kind of interested in this.
Stop.
Oh, God.
I'm interested to see how this looks, because this could be cool. As
maybe
long as it doesn't change.
He could put in extra scenes, too, Aaron.
Well, maybe you could be in them.
Take out the lightsabers and replace them with walkie-talkies.
Yeah, exactly. By the way.
Wees are going to be 3D.
He's also working on the Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah,
the new one.
But maybe Steven Spielberg will actually make
it. Is Harrison Ford in that?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't he a little old for that now?
I think the idea is to write that in.
Oh. Hey, isn't he older than his father was in the third one?
No. Maybe. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Have you seen Harrison Ford lately?
Yeah,
yes.
His skin is sort of
he looks like he should
off.
Be at an old age. I'm going, behold, yeah. the ravages of age.
But I think...
My God, I can't pronounce anything tonight. This is pathetic.
The great thing about
don't
Indiana...
Don't get Don drunk before Geeks On. Sorry about that.
But it tasted like candy.
The great thing about, though, the Indiana Jones series is that he's not the perfect hero. He's kind of...
Crunchy,
and he really didn't have a great physique. I mean, he was... You know, healthy, but he wasn't ripped. And
In the first one, he was pretty ripped.
I agree with you.
When
Mary
takes off his shirt and he's all messed up, he's not ripped at all. He looks like a normal guy.
He looked like a normal guy.
He didn't have no pot belly. He's not like...
No, but he was a healthy guy.
He looked Hollywood normal.
Yeah.
But I think him being older might even, if they write it well, could work. I think it is possible.
As long as they write me in a short round, I don't care.
Short round. You could totally play Short Round.
He's like walking on fortune cookie.
Oh, God.
Geeks On would like to apologize to all people of Asian descent.
Dr. Jones! Indy! Wake up, Indy!
Come on.
He's
I could totally
a good job
do it.
Dr. Jones, Dr. Jones.
You know,
hell, I could play short round.
Oh, God.
I think I should play short rounds.
Short round, actually.
Short round, become the later years.
Yeah. Short round has become tall round.
Peter, you were saying before we interrupted you?
No, it's okay. I'm just going to laugh.
Alcohol plus podcasting is fun.
People are wondering why they downloaded us.
Yes.
They also wonder why.
I had 50 million options. Why did I pick them?
I can actually hear our subscriber rate dropping.
Geeks on. Now on LSD.
So, actually, it's interesting because Matt was mentioning the other day, and just throw this into the news, but they had that Matrix story. Did you hear about this? The Matrix.
The Matrix story.
Yeah, about the lady that sued the Matrix. She said.
Oh,
that,
right, oh right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said that the script came from a script that she had written and submitted years before.
Okay, yeah.
And she won, apparently. How much did she win?
I don't know.
I heard billions of dollars.
Yeah, quite a bit of money.
She has intellectual property. No, she has intellectual property. So she made money off of everything that came off of it.
Wow. Makes a lot of sense if you think about it, that the first script was very good and the other ones were so bad.
The rumor I heard was also that she won the same lawsuit for The Terminator.
How was that?
She came up with the original idea.
Huh.
Well, she just wrote like two stories about robots.
No,
and
she's been writing for decades and constantly submitting them. Huh. And she had a paper trail leading straight to the people who produced these movies.
So
and her scripts were the same. So
I would love to see her script.
Yeah, man.
Hey, you know
I have
what?
No idea.
I'm
talking rumor right now because I can't back it up because I don't remember.
If she wrote
where
the Terminator and Matrix, man, we should be hiring this woman.
Keep in mind, she didn't write them. She came up with the original concepts. I don't know what those original scripts look like.
Her scripts could be awful, but have the right idea.
The second and third movie of the Matrix had nothing to do with the first movie.
I mean, it
is very clear that movie had ended and they were pulling something out of their ass.
Well, it also looked to me like it wasn't written by the same
people.
It's
humans versus robots.
No. Entirely not written by the same
person. Okay, humans versus robots versus middle guys named Merovingians. Okay, great. Good. Roll with that. Yeah.
All right, Peter, do you have
kiss
any other...
Kiss me in front of your girlfriend.
Ugh.
Like you love me.
Yeah, like
what was that?
It was a schoolboy. It was a schoolboy fantasy.
Did she join in? Never mind.
That's a high school fantasy. They were school kid fantasy.
Yeah.
News story: Nintendo patents insanity.
Okay, that was well done, Pete.
Nintendo.
Why? Thank you.
Sorry. For those people whose eardrums have just been blown out, I apologize. So Nintendo got a patent this Tuesday for a sanity system for video games, which covers causing a game character to hallucinate as they lose their sanity. Their sanity decreases in response to encountering creatures or gruesome situations, and they begin to hallucinate.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
The game is called PTSD.
H.P. Lovecraft's video game.
Yeah, it's called Call of Cthulhu. No, it's not. But yeah, they now have the patent for that. So that's interesting.
Very interesting. That's a weird patent. They've had a game like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal Darkness, I think. Was
something like that.
Which was
the one that screwed you up as you were playing the game?
Eternal Darkness, where it would say your data has been lost in your memory card.
Yeah.
I've heard amazing things about the game.
Yeah.
Amazing things.
I've heard it was... Well, Lisa thinks it's like it's the all-time best game in the world.
Right, but I can't bring myself to buy a piece of crap GameCube for, you know... One or two games.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not worth it. And, you know, Resident Evil 4 is coming to PlayStation, right?
Is it?
I hear so.
Oh, thank God.
So we don't even have to buy it for that.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need no Nintendo no more.
Eternal Darkness and Resident Evil were the only two incentives for me to borrow a GameCube.
Right, I know.
You know.
Okay, move it on. The Jack Kirby Museum is now open. The Jack Kirby Museum and Research Center honoring the comic illustration legend has officially launched online. It is not a place to go to. It is an online museum. It's in the early stages, but it's Trey Cool, so go check it out. It illustrates the scope of Kirby's career. It communicates the stories, the influences, stuff like that. It celebrates his life. It's schmancy. It talks about comic
schmancy.
Books. It is schmancy. That's my five-star rating is schmancy.
Actually, could you go through the different levels?
Like Sulu.
Of, the five-star rating?
Sulu?
Yeah, cement.
I have a very... Well, you've heard my Sulu story, but I can't say that online for fear of slander.
Wait, what is the five-star... You know, go through the different five-stars. Schmancy's the number five?
Schmancy's number five. Let's see. Four would be excellent. Or number three would perhaps, because I'm from Connecticut, be wicked. Two would be...
Yeah.
And one would be icky.
Don, you have any other news?
Moving on. Well, let's see. Several Christian schools are bringing a lawsuit against the University of California system.
You've been on a Christian kick lately.
Well, this is kind of a follow-up for a recent Geek
follow-up.
Basically, they're suing them for being discriminatory against Christian schools for teaching creationism instead of evolution. Saying that, basically, where is it? According to the lawsuit, UC's Board of Admissions also advised the school that it would not approve biology and science courses that relied primarily on textbooks published by Bob Jones University Press and A. Becca Books, two Christian publishers. Basically, for saying that these things rely too heavily on creationist theory as opposed to proven science. So they're saying, we don't want to give you science credits for creationist studies.
Right. You have religion, and you have science.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would have no objection to giving theological credits.
Right.
But creationism is not science.
We should put a link to the Norris creation legend versus evolution comic that was on the internet.
Oh, remember, yeah.
We should put that link to that because it's pretty freaking hilarious.
You see, what I would love to see is for like one of these, you know, prayer and school people to win and then for them to put Buddhist chanting into their schools.
They have this interesting new link. I think it was on abcnews.com that I saw where they're bringing yoga into churches and they're trying to figure out how to make yoga sus with Christianity.
Well, I found that so fascinating. I was listening to a radio show on the way to work this morning. She was talking about a yoga teacher who was trying to teach yoga to a bunch of, like, I think she said Focus of the Family people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started hearing about the philosophy behind yoga, all of them got in a huff and left.
Ridiculous.
I didn't quite understand it, but...
Ridiculous.
Satan.
It's yoga, for God's sake. Stretch and breathe.
It's Satan's exercise is what it is. Satan's exercise.
I had a really good friend.
So ask yourself, how would Jesus breathe?
Sorry.
Oh! Hellbound!
I know, but nobody could tell
heathen.
What I did. Anyway.
What did you do?
He blew through
He just whistled through his hand.
How would Jesus breathe? Sorry, never mind. Nobody out there gets it.
We're going to have to edit
this
that
is
out.
It's the nail hole, Peter.
Oh, God.
I actually heard that joke hit.
Ow.
Boy, the message boards are going to go flying tomorrow.
That one hit hard.
Now with 50% less IQ.
All right. You were the altar boy, right?
Yeah, actually, I was.
Okay.
Can I close this geek news down?
Maybe.
Yeah.
In please
do. Please.
Shut it down.
There is apparently a new Star Trek movie being written.
Ooh.
Despite.
Wait, is this odd or even?
This is.
Eight?
Oh, this will be odd.
This is odd.
Is another shitty
Never
one.
Mind.
Well, the last one was shitty.
Well, you
and
gotta
the one
go
before that.
The
they've all been shitty except for the second one. I mean, come on, people.
I liked whatever. Four,
my question is which cast?
I liked.
Well, let me
search for Spock. I liked the whale one. I did. I'm
so
sorry.
You liked 2, 3, 4,
and
then
I liked
6 is good. Six is okay. No,
which is the one with Uhura doing the fan dance?
That's 5. That's the worst
singularly
one.
Singularly the worst one.
Star I just Trek. Remember Uhura distracting Klingons with a fan dance.
Yeah, Star Trek versus the big giant head.
Right. Well, okay. This man, Eric Jinrissen, is signed to write the script for the new Star Trek feature earlier this year.
Who's it going to be? Who's the...
Here's the deal. It's it takes place several years after Enterprise, but does not have the Enterprise characters in it. They say that it's probably going to have... It's going to focus on a ship or several ships, but a main one, hopefully mainly focusing on one character, but having very few characters and have it being more epic and not tying it to any series. This actually could be a good idea.
I think that's a very good idea.
This could be a good idea.
Could start up the next TV series.
That's a bad idea, but I think Star Trek needs a little bit of... I'm the biggest Star Trek fan in the world. I think Star Trek needs...
Well, keep in mind, it's being written now. If it's being written now, it won't be produced for years. So.
Yeah, well, two and a half years.
What were they saying? They weren't going to consider another Star Trek series till 2008?
Depends on how long it takes to write the script. It could take a year or two of development.
But yeah, pre-production will take forever.
We still have some of the old Star Trek producers on board, which is kind of worries me. Berman? But they do have a new... We do have a new one. Paul Nielsen, who's a new person on the producing team. He did Courage Under Fire, Daylight, and Mercury Rising. So those are some of the things he's produced.
So like one good, one bad.
It's better than what we've had before.
True.
As long as you don't get a damn cast member to direct, please find a real director.
I liked Berman's ideas in...
I didn't mind LeVar Burton.
Deep Space Nine.
LeVar didn't direct him.
Yes, he did.
What movie? He did.
Yeah, I don't know.
What movie?
I know he directed that.
Didn't he do... I thought he did the good one, the one I liked.
He did the one with the really cool, sexy Borg.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Alice Krieg one?
Yeah.
First Contact?
Yeah, I think it was First Contact.
I'm not sure.
Sounds like a porno. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was, too.
Well, right. Anyway.
Okay, I don't care how old Alice Krieg is. The woman's hot.
I will be on this as it develops, because I'm very curious about a new Star Trek anything.
Excellent.
So.
Wasn't that... What was the name of the Star Trek Order that was like the Obsidian Order? It was Star Trek sort
It was
of,
the Obsidian Order.
No. The Obsidian Order was the Romulans. Cardassian. The Cardassians.
Oh, right.
What was the Star Trek equivalent? They mention it in DS9.
Federation equivalent?
Yeah, the Federation equivalent.
Oh, it's like Department 6 or
something? Yeah, something like that.
Star Trek geek. Shouldn't you know this?
Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, but I wasn't a big Deep Space Nine.
You gotta watch that
beat you
damn
with a microphone,
series, man.
What's that?
I'm going to beat you with a microphone.
I would...
You watched every series but DS9.
Yeah. It just was my college years. I had no time.
Will you
no TiVo.
Get the damn videos, man?
Well, where?
Rent them.
Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
Rent them.
I'll get them for you.
You can't rent them anywhere.
Yes, you can.
Where?
Video stores.
Vidiots. You can get anything at Vidiots.
I'll check Vidiots.
And do you have Voyager on DVD?
No.
Netflix is now... $10 a month if you want to get one movie out at any time.
Netflix is now $10.
$10.
Okay, but I gotta
only,
go.
It's,
I
might do that. It's only for one movie at a time, though.
That's fine. I don't need
so, it. So, yeah, and that's great. So, like, if you want to see, if you need something right away.
Mine's $20 a month.
Me too.
Yeah, but you're 17. You're getting three movies at a time.
Three movies at a
time. It's 17 now.
Mine's still 19.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's gone down to 17, so you should,
okay,
you should
okay.
repurpose.
We don't need to discuss Netflix prices for too long.
So, shall we start our topics?
Yes, Matt. What is our topic? Because I can't even say it.
Our topic is books that were made into movies,
but
were not like the books.
Ooh.
So, movies that were made from books,
but were not
like the book.
Correct.
Okay.
We get that? Should we say it one more time?
No, I think I got it.
You got it?
He's on.
Okay.
I've got
Let's
it,
do
and
it.
I've got my. I have one that I'd like to talk about.
Okay,
I'm not going to start.
You're not. Wait, no, you can't.
I just have my biggest pet peeve one. You know my biggest pet peeve one.
Spit it out.
The postman.
Well, that's my. That's funny. Okay.
All right, let's talk about it.
I hate.
That was your reserve one, wasn't it?
No, that was my next. That's the next bit.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, we'll
all right.
We'll
so
get
you
there.
Talk about it. You talk.
I hate the postman.
Right.
I read the book. When I was in a little bit of a blue period, and the book was so inspiring to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you know the concept of The Postman? Have you seen it, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah.
So, for those of you who haven't, The Postman is officially about a post-apocalyptic society,
mm-hmm.
and a guy who was basically a drama student,
mm-hmm.
and who goes, and because he's down in his luck, and these guys have stolen everything that he owns, he finds a postman, an old dead postal jeep, and he rips it off. And in order to get into a village and get some food, he says, "Hey, I got some mail for you."
Mm-hmm.
And so he reinvents the United States society by accident, basically, because he's being scrubby.
He scams people by pretending like he's part of this organization that doesn't exist.
And it ends up becoming an organization that does exist because of him. Now, the movie turned it into this really, really trite, stupid, badly acted, moronic piece of garbage that had nothing
mm-hmm.
other than three scenes to do with the book. It took the beginning scene where he finds the postal worker.
What you've described is the entire movie. So it may not have the exact scenes, but so far you've described the movie all the way up to act one.
It took, act one. This is what I'm saying. It took it took him finding the postal stuff. It took the scene with him and the girl in the first town that he goes in, and she wants to be with him. And it took the reference to the wholenists, and basically the wholenists being this big enemy up
front. What is nothing like the book then?
Okay, in the book, basically the wholenists were headed up by these three guys who were former military, and they were super soldiers.
Right.
And they had literally been biologically changed to be super soldiers. And that's how they could basically run roughshod all over anyone. Was didn't matter whether or not they had guns or not. These guys could absorb bullets. They could bend metal. They were crazy. And they were super trained.
Right.
The other thing was that the book was much more brutal. Like, the scene, he ends up falling in love with the girl, and she's a love interest, and she ends up trailing him all over this thing and becomes this secondary character, which in the book was complete nonsense. In the book, she comes up and she says, basically, my husband had the mumps. We can't have kids. You're only coming around because you're a postman once every 6 months. So, hey, do you want to do it?
Right.
Which I thought was such a neat idea and really reinforced the fact that this is a post-apocalyptic society. It's catching. People will do anything to just survive and have kids and maybe go on a little bit.
Right.
And they did a lot with the towns, and also with, it wasn't him who ended up saving the day. He had to go and find this guy called the Squire, who would basically push the wholeness back, and he was the only guy able to do it.
Right.
And so his whole thing, he never stopped. He never started being cool. And in the movie, he had to be cool Kevin Costner, saving the day, figuring out. And it was like, and then they had that epilogue at the end of it where,
yeah,
hey,
I would say, though,
statue.
That just because it was a... It was poorly conceived, but I wouldn't say that's different than the book.
Oh, I'd say it's completely different than the book. I think it kept the basic concept, but that's what you liked.
Having
about
not
it.
Read the book, I'm gonna.
Right, I haven't read the book either, actually.
Yeah, but to me, it sounds like you're saying they did everything, they just did it badly. You know,
they kept the concept of it, but how do you, you know? I mean, that's basically, you know, they kept the concept of robots in iRobot. It was nothing like the book, though.
Well, they had a
See,
robot.
They
had
move,
a robot in
I would
it.
Say they didn't even keep the concept in iRobot.
Oh, yeah. They
in iRobot, it was...
The whole concept of iRobot is going over the three laws, you know? And so they kept the basic concept
and
of
that
it.
Was,
they just plot with...
The three laws were so peripheral to the movie in iRobot, I can't even say it was about that.
No. The
iRobot was just a bad murder mystery.
The robot at the end of it, who has committed everything, has been doing it because of the three laws.
Right.
And it's found an nth law, which was the essence of iRobot, the movie.
Right.
It's there's a fourth law?
Yeah. The zeroth law, actually.
Oh, I never saw the movie.
It's on my TV. Didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Well, the one I wanted to bring was, well, frankly, Disney has done some things right. I'm not going to pretend that they haven't. Disney has done things wrong, and Disney has done things very wrong. For those of you who remember The Black Cauldron and who have read the Terran Wanderer series.
Lloyd Alexander.
The Terran Wanderer series was
five books.
Five pseudo-epic books for, you know, older teenagers, I'd say. You
Pig
know?
Keeper, Tran Pig Keeper.
And they were quite good books. I wouldn't recommend them necessarily to an adult audience.
Come on.
But
The House of Lear.
From what I remember. I mean, it's been a long time since I've read them.
They're still good.
Okay.
They're really right. still good.
But then Disney came out with The Black Cauldron, which was their version of these five books. These five books, which they condensed to 90 minutes.
It was supposed to be three movies, by the way.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
How was it supposed to be three movies when they did all five of the books in
yeah,
one?
Yeah, my dad was trying to license The Black Cauldron to do as an audiobook. And when he went to Disney to purchase the rights, he found out that they had purchased the rights to all five books to do as a trilogy. And they tried to get animation from all three and stuff like that. And they basically ran out of money. And they said, well, take what we got from what we got and put it together and put in filler.
One of the biggest stinkers I've ever seen from Disney.
Yeah.
And for those of you who have seen it, try the books. Don't hold the movie against the books.
Yeah, the books are so good.
Like, Disney Disneyfied it right from the get-go. There's a character named
Disney
Gherky.
Does that.
Oh.
They tend to Disney.
Not like this. I mean, yeah. Imagine Disney doing Tolkien, right? And making Gollum a small, fuzzy, you know,
hobbit,
Ewok looking thing.
Frodo
just wants to be loved.
Nine fingers.
You know? It's, yeah. Oh, God, it hurts so badly. But you've never seen, I mean, imagine again, The Lord of the Rings condensed to 90 minutes.
I think we did see that.
Didn't we do that? No, we saw The Hobbit condensed to 90 minutes.
No, we saw
Peter Jackson.
I'm saying the trilogy, The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they did that in the old
in the animated Ralph Bakshi one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
No. That was two books.
That was Return of the King and
that was two books. That was not all three.
No, they jammed it all in.
No. That's why they did The Return of the King as a third movie.
Yes.
They did The Hobbit. They did The Lord of the Rings, which was The Fellowship of the Ring and The Two Towers.
Yes.
And then they did The Return of the King.
Oh, they did. Okay. So they did in two movies.
Yeah.
The trilogy in two movies.
Yeah, Return of the King was where there's a whip.
So imagine that twice as shitty. You know?
Right. Okay.
And that's what Disney did to The Black Cauldron.
Okay.
Where there's a whip. There's a whip. Sorry. Uh-huh. Disney actually has done a couple other adaptations that were a little unfaithful, but much more successful. They're not that unfaithful. But
all of their movies are like that.
Little Mermaid is actually based on a fairy tale.
That is a tragedy of a movie.
Yeah.
The original is awesome.
I love the movie. I actually really like that movie.
I like that movie a lot.
But the fairy tale ending is beautiful.
The ending of that movie is absolutely pathetic. In fact, it made me sick. I stopped watching Disney movies for years because of that ending. Speaking of Disneyfying,
what do you think Disney's going to kill her?
Well, they cut out hearts before.
True.
They can't have her commit suicide. Yeah. I mean,
why?
It's Disney.
It's Disney. Aaron, the fact that you're asking that question.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Hey, go watch the old Disney movies,
Aaron.
But they're scary
stuff,
shit.
Isn't it neat?
Yes, but they
wouldn't
don't.
Wouldn't you think my collection?
Well, don't do it. Go make up another dumbass character.
How many Disney animations ended in tragedy?
Well, first of all, it's not tragic.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. Seafoam.
The Little Mermaid is
I guess
tragic.
It's considered it's tragic. Tragic. But it's still.
For the people who don't know what we're talking about, in the original Brothers Grimm fairy tale,
mm-hmm.
the mermaid kills herself. And
Hans
becomes,
Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen. Oh, is it Hans? Okay, Hans Christian Andersen. She kills herself and becomes seafoam in the end?
Seafoam. She sacrifices herself.
Yes.
I would put it more.
She can't be with the man she loves, so she becomes seafoam.
Well, no, not how it is.
I think the way I remember it is actually
she sacrifices herself to save him.
I don't remember that.
She is told that he's not digging her. So her sisters go and sell their hair.
Yeah.
And remember, she has a time limit. She's going to turn to sea foam if she doesn't get him to dig her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't kill herself.
I completely forgot that.
She's going to turn to sea foam on midnight. So the sister says, if you go and stab him in the heart and sprinkle the blood on your legs, it will turn back into, you'll fuse together and you'll become a fish again. So she has the knife and she has a choice to make whether to kill the person she loves who doesn't love her back or to let him live and marry this other woman. And so she dies for him. That's an awesome ending. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And that bullshit that Disney did is pathetic. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I agree with you, but
teenagers.
By the same token, the existing fairy tale.
Just like a couple of crappy songs that were in there.
No. The existing fairy tale exists for a reason. I mean, people walked away with a lesson from that fairy tale for years and decades and decades and decades.
Right.
Maybe.
And what's the lesson we learned of the new one?
That's my problem with the new one. It's,
you know what
I
it
love
is?
It as a piece of entertainment, but there's
teenagers,
no
you give them an inch and they swim all over you.
Jesus.
God. Don is giving Matt an idea.
God.
Aladdin is also a not so faithful tale.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's also they took some liberties. I would personally argue I actually think that
I
they
loved
made
both those movies.
The right choice. I disagree with you, Aaron.
Bad.
Well,
bad choice.
That they made, I think they're great films. I think they're classics. I think they will be around for a long time, and they were very financially successful.
Yeah.
Both of those, I think, are valid remakings, though, for children.
Yeah.
For modern children who can't take, you know, bloodier stories that every other generation before them has loved.
Well, but let's
That was very well
and ironically done, though.
Let me go one step farther with something Disney did with The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
A piece Disney should never have approached.
Why not? Put some songs and make everybody happy. Why you can't have priests diddling little boys and shit, which happened, I think, in the original one.
Yes.
She gets raped by the lead male character.
Yeah,
first one.
Disney-fy it. It's okay, right?
Actually,
song to it.
I think it's fine to Disney.
My argument is that the fairy tales are fairy tales. Fairy tales over the course of centuries and millennia have changed.
Mm-hmm.
The first version of Cinderella was found in ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that story has changed since that point.
Sure.
The nature of a fairy tale is to change and evolve with the society telling it.
I totally agree.
However, a Victor Hugo novel is not intended to continuously change, adjust, and adapt.
It sure is. All it is,
a written novel is not meant to. The Cinderella story is a Brothers Grimm write down, right? The written version of that from the Brothers mm-hmm. Grimm is a very recent reinterpretation of the story.
Okay.
A la Night Before Christmas, you're saying, sort of thing.
But don't exactly. But don't you see the Hunchbacks will soon be what the original Cinderella was?
No, because the Hunchback of Notre Dame is not descended from an oral tradition.
Who cares if it's oral or not?
It is a specific written craft from one human being's creation.
Once it goes through Disney and then it goes through the next thing. And 300 years from now, you're going to say the exact same thing.
No, I wouldn't.
When you're alive.
Because there was no original written version of Cinderella.
Well, some guy dreams
the sleeping,
up...
Admittedly, The Little Mermaid, yes, there was an original written version
of that. Because it wasn't written down, some guy made it up, busted his ass, and talked to 100,000 people. He couldn't write it on paper because there's not enough fish and squiggly things.
But how do you know he didn't?
Maybe he did write it down.
So, Don,
maybe
are you got destroyed.
Hang on.
Well, it doesn't matter if it was written down at that point because it has become an oral tradition since that point.
Don, are you saying...
And the original written records are gone.
Are you saying that you disapprove of it because you think it should be more... Because Cinderella is more iconic or more of the... What are you saying?
What I am saying is that Cinderella is born of an oral tradition that is meant to change and adapt.
That is
that genre.
So Greek
Victor
myths
Hugo's,
are then therefore...
I would say yes. Greek myths
are up for grabs.
Greek myths are written oral traditions that have changed over time.
Everything like, in culture is meant to
you,
do that.
You don't hear the stories about Apollo boning little boys anymore for a reason.
And why not? I love
that is
those.
Not part of our tradition.
But
right.
But it's the same thing. Everything in our culture is like that. That's the reason
I
why
we... I strongly disagree. A Victor Hugo novel is a specific written singular piece of
art. Is meant to evolve in our culture. This is the reason why we have laws that after, well, it's supposed to be 50 years, now it's 75 years, that you're able to use, things go into public domain, so you can you can bring it into the culture and change it. That's the reason why we should be able to change Mickey Mouse right now. It's part of our culture, and culture is, and we should be able to evolve it.
So what do you think
Disney
about,
doesn't
like...
own Mickey Mouse anymore.
Yeah,
it's just the fact. The same thing with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We should be able to write stories about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Do you know what that used to be?
It's a jingle.
It was a character invented by Woolworths to sell shit. Yeah. And now it's part of our culture, and we should be able to have Christmas specials and stuff because that's part of my life.
What about Shakespeare?
Okay. Shakespeare gets reinvented constantly,
yes.
Admittedly.
Yeah.
But most people try and stick dutifully to the canon. And those who diverge from it are often punished by outcries of purists, by people who criticize
West Side
them
Story
for...
is a great, I think, cultural
adaptation
of Shakespeare.
But they're making a simile. They're not claiming to be Romeo and Juliet. They're claiming to be West Side Story.
Well, but let's also keep in mind that...
But that's what...
The Hunchback of Notre Dame is claiming to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, they were claiming
based
to be the
on
Disney
the,
version
based
of...
on the Victor Hugo all novel. Right,
okay, but yet even Shakespeare, even he didn't invent the stories he was telling. Many of the
yes,
stories
a lot of them are descended
then.
From oral traditions.
And that's what the reality is that nothing is sacred when it comes to a story. Stories evolve. Even if they're written down, they don't become sacred. And as writers, I understand your desire to say, once it's written down, it's mine, it's his. Nobody should go and F with that. He wrote it down.
that's the way it should be. But the reality is, after a certain period of time, things evolve and they change.
And they should.
I disagree. If this it's is part if of it life. Is the written, it is not.
The one, even, it is. Okay, tell me one book that it, tell even the Bible is so different from the original form.
It's interpretive.
I'm not going to disagree with that. It's been rewritten, retranslated, and used for political purposes.
Okay, so why shouldn't why shouldn't something that someone considers holy, which has evolved, why should other things such as this book
for the same
not?
Reason? If you decided you wanted to rewrite the Bible and change a few verses here and there right now, you would be slammed.
I'm sure you would be. But
that's
you should
just not the way it's supposed to work.
But that's not true.
The
that happens
Victor
all the
Hugo
time.
The novel
it does work.
Is a specific like Les Misérables, same deal. Victor Hugo. Mm-hmm. It's you can make an adaptation of it, I suppose. Okay. But if you diverge completely, change the ending, then it is no longer The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And to portray that this is The Hunchback of Notre Dame is false to the vision of a contemporary person that still recently put out this book.
Which is the same problem I have with The Postman.
Okay, I hate to be the bad guy here. We're extremely off topic, and this is the reason why we always go hour and a half, 2 hours. We should get back on topic.
Okay,
but,
fine.
But this is a great freaking topic.
But just saying.
Nice.
You're entitled to your wrong opinion.
No, just saying that basically what Don is saying is that I've had this argument with Aaron before, is that I believe that it's the concept that, like Aaron likes The Postman, right? And what I think he likes about that is the concept. And what certain people like about Hunchback of Notre Dame is the concept. But what's been screwed up is the follow through, what the actual, true vision of it is. And that's what we want to remain true. Just like you want.
If you want to make, if you want to remake Phantom of the Opera, there are certain truths you have to stick to with it.
Right.
If you want to make Phantom of the Rock opera, you've declared a change. You've declared a difference. You have separated yourself from the original idea.
I would argue that but if you claim the original title, you're saying if I'm making a remake, you're saying you should hold to the.
That would be like making a movie about Pocahontas and saying that the first run-in between Indians and white men was happy and everybody went their own way.
But wait a minute, you just told us that it was okay for the Little Mermaid to change.
Then I went back and said, no, I was wrong.
So you've liked the movie, now you said you don't like the content.
I said I can like the movie. I can still like the movie and disapprove of what they did to the story.
I would argue that it is okay to evolve something into something else as long as it is an evolution, not a devolution.
Devolution.
Devolution. Devolution. All right. One of those words.
We got to get back on topic. I'm playing bad guy here. Peter, who's you?
Interesting movies. Okay. The Shining is very different. The original.
I've never read the book. Is it good?
The book's great.
Book's good. Yeah. Book's good, but the movie's great too.
I think the movie
is effing awesome.
I think the movie is actually, that's one of the ones that basically said, you know what, I'm going in my own direction, but.
And that's also one of the movies that Stephen King said, they did the remake for television. Yeah. And I heard the quote was coming from him said, you know what? That's the one movie I never really was satisfied with.
Oh.
The original, The Shining.
Right.
He must be out of his freaking mind. The best movie ever made out of any of his books is the one he had the problem with.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Well, yeah, he liked Pet Sematary.
And Pet Sematary too, I'm sure.
Hey, you know what? I actually liked Pet Sematary, the movie.
I
although
did too.
The sequel was hysterical because I saw that in South Central with a very rowdy audience. And it was the funniest movie I had ever seen because everybody was yelling stuff as we were watching it.
Don't go in there!
It was great.
Can't you hear the music?
I had the best time watching that movie, and it was a horrible movie.
Okay,
I have to sneak in one Stephen King movie comment.
All right, it's got to be fast.
Okay, Sleepwalkers. Have any of you seen it?
Oh, no. God. All right,
it's about incestuous werecats, a mother and son living together.
Yes.
Right? I'm gonna blow the plot here, people. So if you're dying to see Sleepwalkers, skip ahead a few minutes. Halfway through the movie, the mother cat decides that someone needs to die. So she busts into their house while they're having dinner, picks up a cob of corn off the dinner table, and stabs them through the back with it. And the line she says immediately after is, "I warned you. If you don't eat your vegetables, no dessert."
That's great.
I'm glad Stephen King
is
was happy
from
with that
the novel?
Crap.
I have no idea, but Stephen King did not appear in that movie, so apparently he didn't approve of it.
Okay. In Defend Your Movie, I've got some lines that'll.
Nice. Okay, I have a movie here. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Otherwise known as?
And Blade Runner. I don't think this is an otherwise known as. I think these are very, very different. Blade Runner is one of my, if not my all-time favorite movie.
Yeah, but love the thing that. Is they changed the title on that. They weren't claiming to do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. They were saying based on the story of.
Okay, fine. But it was essentially the book.
That's actually a very respectful thing to do.
I think so.
I agree.
I think so, too.
It is, but they didn't do it because of that. They didn't do it because of respect. They did it because they knew they couldn't sell a movie called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. Blade Runner sounded way cooler.
I could sell a movie called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
Not as... Well, they couldn't even sell Blade Runner.
As long as it had a guy on the front of the cover going...
We've all seen the movie, and everybody listening knows what.
I haven't seen the movie.
How awesome the movie is!
Ow!
But it's really nothing. I mean, there's a couple of things in this book that relates to it. You know, there is he's a bounty hunter that goes and chases down robots, but there's so much of this religious overtones about this, guy who could resurrect animals and
but that's Philip K. Dick, you know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just such a different, I mean, it's almost just loosely based off of it. Yeah, I mean, great book, but don't expect it to be Blade Runner.
There's this really interesting moment in the book where he has, I think he's bought an electric sheep.
Right, because his real sheep died.
Because his real sheep died.
I bought an electric sheep once.
And he's so depressed that his real sheep died.
Right.
And his And his and his neighbor has a dog or something. I can't remember what his neighbor
has. Like a real dog?
Like a ranch. Yeah, and he's so jealous of his neighbor's like real animal. And he's like, yeah, I bought an electric sheep. And he shows him and he flips up and shows the mechanics. And his neighbor gives him this look and then flips up and shows that he's actually bought
a
mechanical
dog.
And I thought that was this moment of, real futuristic empathy between people and sort of,
right.
I thought that was such a well done moment. And then when I didn't see it in the movie, I was like, oh.
Well, the book has, they have this kind of empathy box, like a mood box that everyone has to, they don't have to. It's like the television you plug into. And
dial
you just,
9 for happy, darling.
Yeah, you get the mood you want instead of watching TV. And his wife's pretty much hooked on it. And there's a lot of that, and I think some of it clouds it, but it's really hard to like latch onto what the book's telling you, in my opinion. I think what the movie does is it picks something to focus on, and I think the movie did a really good job of picking the idea that, these robots are just as human as anybody else, and it had to get Decker shooting several of them and get him to the end of the movie and watching somebody, one of them die in front of him and him save his life to kind of understand all that.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good choice to focus and not put in all that clutter. I mean, that's what you have to do with a movie. You can't write an entire... Well,
you have to pare it down.
This is one of the things that I had with the Harry Potter movies, is that I thought that, interestingly, I usually have a problem with the fact that not Harry Potter specifically, but movies in specific don't hold to the book. Mm-hmm. That there's a concept to the book and they break from that concept in an effort to try and make a good film, and usually they lose their way. But in Harry Potter, Chris Columbus, I'm specifically talking about the first one, held so true to what he thought was J.K. Rowling's vision that he created a sort of blah, boring movie to make.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That he really could have had a chance to make a great movie. And when
he didn't
Cuarón,
cut the fat.
Yeah, he didn't cut the fat. And Cuarón, when he made the third one, I was like, this is it. This is the Harry Potter movie that I've always wanted.
My problem with the first one is it stuck so closely to the book.
Yeah.
Which, when I read it, I imagined what I was seeing.
Yeah.
And the presentation of what was in the book could never live up to what was in my head.
Yes, exactly.
So if you don't depart from that a little bit, you're going to disappoint your own.
I haven't read the books, but I saw the movie, and I felt like it was a television show. It was like, They didn't have a lot of time to spend on design, and they didn't have a lot of time to spend on sets, and they didn't have a lot of time to think about this. It just looked like the first thing that anyone had thought of about a magical castle.
Have you seen the third one?
That's the one with the guy in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all the same.
Really?
It's the same movie over and over again.
First three.
As we bring this one to a close, let's close it really quick with a quick question to all of you. Which book or series of books would you most like to see made into a movie or series of movies?
Interesting. Peter? Wheel of Time would be really interesting.
Oh God! Mm-hmm.
As long as it came to a close, absolutely.
As long as it stopped at book six and then cut the fat big time.
And the other one would be the Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Game of Thrones would be fast.
Both of those series that have not ended yet. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, Matt?
The Belgariad.
I agree 100% with the Belgariad.
Yeah.
I would like to... Unfortunately, I think out of context it wouldn't work, but Nightwatch by Terry Pratchett.
Yeah. Well, Terry Pratchett, are they still doing
As far as I know,
gods?
Yes, but it's a very... You know, Pratchett's writing won't adapt well for stage or screen.
Right.
So, do you have anything?
Aaron doesn't read.
I don't read a whole lot of novels, and this is something I actually had thought about a couple of years ago. I was writing a, you know, Cosmos that came out with Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
Yeah.
I've always thought that a new type of Cosmos with quantum mechanics based off of taking the Quantum Leap and a couple of the other books to be written as a mini series science show.
Stephen Hawking and his abusive wife.
Yeah, I mean, but really put some money into it and kind of wow, and get everyone really excited about the stuff that's in it. Because, you know, there's all sorts of science shows right now, but they don't have enough money to do this and that. And a couple of them, like the dinosaur stuff, they get a crowd. But do like a miniseries, I've always thought that would be cool.
Excellent.
Nice idea.
Okay, so we have a new little bit. And this is called Defend Your Movie.
Defend Your Movie.
Our task is to bring in...
We have to credit... Hold on. We have to credit... We are getting this idea from one of our forum contributors.
Uh-huh.
And thank you so much. Insert name here. Aaron will put your name here.
Okay.
Because we didn't write your name down because we're jerks.
So the concept is to bring in a really bad movie...
Yep.
...that for some reason you still love.
Mm-hmm.
And then defend it to the other three geeks.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm going to start off by bringing up John Carpenter's They Live.
That's such a good movie.
Ugh.
Do you guys remember this?
It's such a good movie.
It's about a guy who finds these sunglasses that when he puts them on, he realizes that half the people in our world are aliens.
Now, when you say this guy, you mean a wrestler.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yes.
He's good in it.
And
I like to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
Yeah, yeah. One of the best lines.
You have to play Devil's
It's great. Right, I am here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
Exactly like that.
Yes.
Wow.
One of the other great lines, what's great about him is it's so awful. It's one of those movies that you can watch because it's so bad and yet you love it. The acting is so bad. And the fight is so bad. There's these
Come cards. On, that fight's a great fight.
Okay. Here's another one.
Can't Brother, pick on your own movie.
Ready? Brother, life's a bitch, and she's back in heat.
I remember that.
That's fantastic.
I haven't seen that movie in a decade, and I still remember it.
That's fantastic.
Okay. That's a good one.
Bad fight choreography. There's parts where he's trying to hold a submachine gun in one hand, and it's going... all over the place, and yet he's still shooting people. He's trying to aim, and the gun's going back and forth. There's a part where a guy's literally, I mean, it's amazing some of the takes they kept. A guy's trying to, you know, cock the shotgun and keep shooting, and you see it get stuck, and he's having trouble. Not like because he's supposed to, but clearly because it's just not
working. The props, and the gun still goes off. So the sound effect still goes off. Probably.
Yeah, there's bad editing that's on effects sometimes. The great thing, though, is it is well shot.
Yeah, it is.
It is very well shot. And there are moments where it is truly creepy in the beginning, just right when he puts the sunglasses on.
No, that's a good concept.
Okay, now defend. Dumbest looking aliens in a movie ever.
Especially because it's in black and white. The aliens are always seen in black and white, and it's really kind of weird. And they don't have these big eyes.
I thought they were
cool. But
they're like aliens. They're like humans with stripped off skin.
Yeah, yes. I remember them looking like zombie wannabes.
Yeah, they look a little better in color when you see them. Right.
I just love the last scene where this guy's like sleeping with this girl, and they've been cutting back to him having sex with this woman the entire time, and then suddenly he shuts off the big thing
that was
transmitting everything, and she's like, ah, and he's like, what, baby, what, what?
It's the
baby,
aliens
what?
Saying this.
What
she's on top of him, what? Riding him, and
right?
He's like, what, baby?
It's great.
All right, Matt, do you have a...
Yeah, but you guys haven't seen it, but it's one of my favorite bad movies of all time. It's called Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Is that the one with the snake at the end?
Yes, that's the one with the snake at the end.
Okay, I have no idea what this is about.
It is singularly the worst movie. It's one of the 80s
bad, we're all like Rambo, killing terrorists, drug lords, and fiends movies.
Like Barbarian Brothers and...
Not like Barbarian Brothers, but it's more like Rambo.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's a bad Rambo.
But it's horrific. It's horrific. In the last scene, let me just give you the last
horrific
scene.
In a good way.
Horrific in such a good way. In the last scene, there is a blonde, really hottie, running around the house, and there's a guy chasing her with a switchblade.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs through the kitchen and all through the house and cannot find anything to protect herself from the somewhat emaciated, leprous-looking man chasing her with a switchblade. Eventually, she ends up hiding in a wood closet with the slats on the front of it.
Right.
And he stabs his way through the slats.
Instead of opening the door?
No, she locks the door from the inside. Okay. A closet that locks from the inside. and stabs his way through the slats with a switchblade. And every time the switchblade, this teeny weeny 2-inch blade, protrudes through the wood of the slats, she screams. Enter her boyfriend on motorcycle with a gigantic 4-pronged bazooka launcher.
Right.
And he proceeds to kill the guy's men by first shooting 2 of them that are near a window. And it looks like they are literally pushed out the window and they fall out.
By the bazooka.
By the bazooka. Then he goes out to the open window and shoots the guy's helicopter, which is obviously a bad model floating up above, and it explodes like World War III. And then he shoots the emaciated, leprous-looking guy who just explodes in little bloody chunks. And he saves her, kisses her, and then all of a sudden she screams again, and he whips around, and the baby snake, which they had flushed down the toilet in the beginning of the movie, I shit you not, has come back as a gigantic anaconda and is rearing itself out of the toilet, and he shoots that with the bazooka, and only the head blows off and shoots sparks. And then
so
the rest of the
where
snake.
Is the part that you defend it being a good movie?
Yeah, this is such a bad movie.
It's so good. It is the most hilarious comedy ever filmed.
And it's unintentional.
Unintentional, hilarious comedy.
I'm going to try and keep mine quick.
Okay.
At first, I was going to go with John Carpenter's Vampiros Los Muertos, Vampires 2, which, if you have not seen, it really shouldn't have been as good as it was.
Is that the Jon Bon Jovi one?
That is the Jon Bon Jovi one, and the kid from Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Right.
His very first movie.
You've talked about a scene in that before. You said
Scene rocked my world, man. I was thinking about talking about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which I think it got screwed to the wall because too many of the fans of the comic book refused to give it a chance kind of as its own standalone thing.
Right, but I liked it. I hated Tom Sawyer, mind you.
I hated Tom Sawyer.
But I liked it because I didn't pay for it. If I'd pay for it, I think I would have liked it a hell of a lot less. And why is the Indian Nemo doing capoeira?
So you think, you felt that the fans of the written comic book preserved in its written form shouldn't have been changed and modified.
Yeah, I think they should have been ashamed for keeping the name as it was and not simply saying based on.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But what's the movie you are? What is the movie you are
going to
bring
up? These are the movies that we're not defending.
Okay, the movie that I am defending is going to be something I have only seen on edited television in the late afternoon, Wishmaster.
Oh, wow.
Really?
One. That is the only one of the bunch I've seen.
What is the concept of this?
The concept is a genie is released from a bottle by a young woman, right? And anyone who runs into the genie can make a wish, but the genie will always use the wish just to screw you to the wall.
Yeah.
Right?
Not a bad concept, actually.
Right. I mean, it's a great
idea. That's always the concept.
If I remember correctly, the woman who lets him out is the key to everything, though. If he can get her to make 3 wishes, then the world will come to an end, right?
Okay.
So the thing that I have to defend, it all comes down to this one scene. Like I said, it's a great idea. And he kills people in all sorts of ingenious ways by getting them to wish. Like, oh, I wish I was really rich. Oh, I wish I had all the gold in the world. You know, just like blatant, duh, do not make this wish if you want to live wishes. But basically, the scene that I remember is the woman has made 2 wishes and then figured out what's going on, right? And she knows if she makes 1 more wish, the world's going to end. So she refuses to make another wish and she just walks away. So the genie is basically stalking her, trying to trick her into getting her to ask him for anything in any context. So she's going, like, she has to go visit her grandmother for some reason. And, like, the genie offs her grandma and pretends to be the grandmother. And so while the woman's trying to talk to her grandmother and tell her all these things, he's constantly leaning forward as the grandmother saying, "Would you like a glass of tea, dear?"
Oh.
Cookie? You know?
Well, her, wait, so her just asking for it is considered a wish?
All she needs to do is ask for it.
Oh, that's cheating.
And so he keeps showing up in all these circumstances, trying to just get her to ask for anything. And I remember that scene being so cool.
That is a cool scene.
They did a good job with that scene.
And what did she say? "I wish this never happened."
Yes, after a form. I think the big thing was, like, I wish that the person who'd accidentally dropped the box that your bottle was in never dropped the box.
Right.
So he gets put back in the box. That's all the wishes that anyone has made have been undone, and he's never discovered, gets shipped off into some Indiana Jones type storage facility, never gets found until the second movie.
That's like a Kirk fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Aaron.
All right. Well, I was going to do The Postman.
Ha.
But I'm not. Okay. I'm going to do Zardoz.
Oh, no. God help us.
Why don't you pick number two on my list of least favorite fucking movies of all time?
Zardoz.
There is no excuse for Zardoz.
Sean Connery in diapers running around.
What's the big linen red floaty thing over their heads, blanket?
Oh, it's a computer. They put this, it's a hippie movie, okay? It's made by a bunch of hippies.
Made by stoned hippies.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No. So there's a lot of kind of naked hippie chicks.
Oh, okay. Well, wait. I could go with some of this. Giant floating heads with Sean Connery in the mouth. If they're attractive naked hippie chicks at the same time, I can go.
Some of them are.
I'll be permissive.
But the stuff they put over you, they drape yourself in like a tie-dye drape. And what it does is it's like a computer. It allows you to, like, mind meld with each other, and you can go into the computer and ask the computer questions and stuff. So instead of it being a laptop, it's like a sheet.
It's a sheet top.
Wait.
It's got a...
Instead of it being a laptop, it's a sheet.
It's the far future. You don't have laptops and computers like that. It's like a piece of drapery you put over, and it reads your minds and stuff.
That's much more convenient.
Well, it is. Read it, or watch the show. But it's got a great twist.
I mean, it could be you could make that anything. It's like, you know,
it's the far future. We have frogs.
There's sheep. You know, it's not a sheep. It's sheep, and we take our heads and we push them into the sheep, and the sheep stimulates electrical currents, and we mind meld through the sheep.
Watch the movie.
Yes, Sahib, but usually we just ride him into town.
The movie has
how do you get from sheet to sheep? I'm confused.
P or T?
Oh.
The movie does have a twist in it. I don't know if it's the best twist in the world, but it is interesting.
Yeah.
And it's in Don. I don't know.
I saw the movie. It's not interesting.
It's kind of interesting. It ties into the title of the movie.
Yeah. Remember the sequence in 2001 where Dave sees too many? There's so many stars, and then you just see like
20 minutes of lights.
20 minutes of lights. Yeah. That are the most boring sequence in 2001. Yeah. That's Stardust.
No.
Okay.
No.
So tell us what this twist is, because I'm still waiting for you to defend the movie.
All right. Well, those of you who don't want the end ruined, skip ahead like 30
Spoilers
seconds.
Spoilers from 1979.
Yes. How do you spoil this movie?
The movie is about. It takes place in the far future. It's kind of a sanctuary where all the elitists stay, and it's this force shielded area, and it's a whole bunch of hippies, and they're really elitist. I mean, they've got some serious social problems.
Yeah.
And outside of this area are the barbarians. Sean Connery is a barbarian. They're almost bred to kill. And on the inside, they don't allow you, when you get old, they kind of put you in this weird, you almost live forever. But mm-hmm. if you commit a crime, they age you. And they age you and they age you, and you become more and more insane, essentially. And then, anyway, it goes on and on and on. Sean Connery, though, is a barbarian.
Mad doobie.
Sean Connery is a barbarian who is more intellectual than most of the barbarians. He can read. He's got special abilities.
He has a giant floating head.
They all worship this giant god that looks like a stone head that flies around called Zardoz. It's kind of like you know, this idol. He sneaks in. He sneaks in and actually sees what's on the inside of Zardoz.
Uh-huh.
And there's a man in there, and he shows him this a library, an ancient library from the old ones. And the old ones. And he points him to a specific book. And the book is The Wizard of Oz. And it's all fucked up, the title. And it shows that a man can be hiding behind an idol and rule a land. And Sean Connery figures out the secret of this god, that Zardoz is the Wizard of Oz, kind of all distorted. And so he's tied up in that. He gets brought into the elitist area, and he's trying to work the whole thing out. It's an interesting story.
Okay.
It is slow, okay. But it's got some great concepts.
I will admit that the Zardoz Wizard of Oz thing, that's kind of cool.
That's one line.
But everything else in that rambling...
I've got it on DVD, and it has director's commentary, so we'll have to check it out.
Oh, God, help us.
Everything else in that rambling six-minute synopsis... No wonder you didn't want to do it, because you knew I could spend 6 minutes. I was really wondering for your...
It's hard to explain. It's one of those... It came out in the 70s. It's one of those movies that came out during the hippie sci-fi.
Have a fifth of vodka and some shrooms, and this movie is kicking.
Okay. Are the girls really attractive?
No.
No.
They're not. Hippie. They're kind of hippie.
They're fuzzy and ugly.
Yeah, they're a little fuzzy. We have to check it out.
That hippie, unshaven crap that I... No.
Hey, I went to Hampshire College. That can be hot.
Wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. You have a hard time with this, and you're okay with Matt's shooting the guys with bazookas? I mean, come on.
RJ Dwight has hot 80s chicks.
God. Alrighty. So
I think y'all are crazy. That's all I have to say on the matter.
So I don't know if we defended our movies well, but if you want some bad movies that... kind of sneak in there.
All right.
So next, go and check these out. Okay. Before we wrap this up, we want to do a couple of links.
Okay.
Matt, you have some?
Yeah, I got a couple of links, literally.
No links on there.
Okay. I just got my phone because my phone got stolen.
Right.
From a place called younevercall.com. Now, granted, it has singularly the cheapest, highest end cell phones I have ever seen in my entire life. It is also the stupidest, most annoying website with the worst tech support I have ever seen in my entire life.
So, wait, but what you're saying is you get what you pay for?
If you want some cheap-ass, high-end phone that you're going to have to send back 3 times, like I am, because you're a cheap bastard, like I am... This is your site, younevercall.com.
Frugal.
Yes.
Wait,
frugal.
You're advertising frugal. A site that has effed you over several times.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm
yes,
letting
but
you
he's
know.
He's still smiling about it because he got a good price.
Because I got a Razer phone plus a Bluetooth headset for free. Free.
That's pretty good.
And what, but wait, free? Or free. Did you have to sign up for a 3-year
two-year contract.
Okay.
But it's the same. Site that I would be with anyway, right. and basically it's a mail-in rebate, but it's for the full amount. I don't have to sign away my first child, nothing like that.
Okay.
But the phone sucks, and I'm going to have to probably send it back again.
It doesn't charge.
They're probably refurbished.
No, they're not refurbished. They're all new products.
They're all
like
new
that.
Ones that don't work.
Yeah, well, mine specifically does not work. My Trio worked, but they gave me the wrong phone number when they initially sent it to me. I'm warning you. This is all
as
problems.
Though it was a refurbished phone with the old phone number.
Maybe.
All right. So what's your second site?
And the other one is sort of the water that you would have in between the taste of younevercall.com. It's www.phonescoop.com. And you can compare and contrast any phone that's out there on the market, even ones that are in Europe and stuff like that. And you can really find out what the phone scoop is on whether or not it's worth buying, whether or not you know it rates.
Interesting.
It's a great site. That's a really great thing. Phone scoop.
I stole this from Tech TV. I saw this on Tech TV, so some of you may already know this. But there's a website where a man has recreated the Old Testament stories with Legos.
Oh, my God.
I've seen these. Go through the whole thing.
In all seriousness?
Is it animated? Or is it...
No,
there's
still photos.
Did I share this with my Sunday school group?
You could. It's all... And it's not a... They don't rag on it at all. It's all done legit. They've got little thought bubbles and speaking bubbles to get through the dialogue.
That's kind of funny.
But he built the whole thing. It's pretty absurd.
I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but Don, I thought you would find this funny. A man did the math on Noah's Ark and basically said if Noah and his sons and his wife had actually collected all of the animals in the world by two and brought them into the ark to stay for 40 days and 40 nights, they each, Noah, his wife, sons, everybody like that, would each have had to scoop 500 tons of poo every half an hour in order to keep that sucker afloat.
They just train the animals to poop off the side.
Yes.
That's wow.
Funny. But that's creationism is damn well true, man.
Wow.
Well, they didn't have to put any water creatures in there.
No.
The air creatures, I don't know, could they stay up there?
Can't fly forever.
Well, it was 40...
Well, the whole point was that the
nothing can fly for 40 days and 40
true,
nights.
But there was no trees.
No, but it can
anything?
Fly away and poop and then come
no
back.
No trees.
They can poop and shit. They could like hit the they can go in shifts.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine the decks on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, don't they
ship?
Send the dove out and it comes back with the olive branch?
Yeah. I'm just imagining the poor cabin boy.
Well, no, we're coming up on a long weekend, so
enjoy your slightly shortened show.
But it's an hour and a half. It's not short.
We had a whole other topic, but Aaron said no.
Aaron said no. We're going to do that topic next week. I think it's a great topic.
So as you guys are driving, you could go, gosh, I could have like another half hour, but now I got to stop now because Aaron said no.
Yes.
Hate mail to Aaron Hendricks.
Trust me, we have 1,500 people. We've only gotten like 3 people saying they like it being long. I'm sure most people like them short. Anyway, hope you guys all have a good geek week and a good geek weekend.
Rock out the geek weekend.
And I don't believe we're going to be back next week, are we? We're going to be away for other geek activities.
Do you mean? The weekend of the 7th through 10th?
Labor Day weekend.
That's
no,
this
but
weekend.
Yes. But we're...
That's this show.
Oh.
That's this show.
Never mind.
So we will... we had to shift things. Instead of recording
Never
the weekend,
mind.
We're recording on a weeknight because one of us is now working.
In a sweat box.
So and that's why we're shifted a little bit, but yes, we should be back next week.
Rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Alrighty.
Have a great Labor Day.
Have
Bye.
A great geek week.
Bye. Don't take too much geek trouble.
Geek How many trouble? More geek catchphrases can we come up with right now?
We're working on it. I'm going to sell them as t-shirts. Bye, y'all.